marathon madness hit Belfast this week. It was this unseen over 18,000 enter the race, stern off at the City Hall and go over 26.2 miles around Belfast for the 35th year. Runners range from world-class athletes to those whose aim was just to cross that finish line. Some entered the relay, some ran as clowns, some looked like clowns, even though they weren't trying to, and a lot of money was raised for charities around the world. And just the other week in London, 36,000 entered this race, raising thousands and thousands of pounds for charity. Although it was interesting to read of one lady who entered the race, and some of the youth will know who she is. She's called Natasha Argent from the TV hit show Towie. I don't watch it, honest. She's a reality TV show, and she entered, and she ran the first half really well. Around every turn, she followed the course, and then about halfway, she took a slight shortcut. So, in the second half of that race, she ran that faster than Mo Farah, and they were scratching their heads. How was she able to run so quick? And then they found out she had taken a massive shortcut and she hadn't ran the route that she was supposed to run. And she had to hand in her medal again. And she was now proven to have disqualified herself. I also read of a 12-year-old girl who entered the New York 5K fun run, and she arrived slightly late to this run, and she entered anyhow. So she was running along thinking, feeling quite good here, and she kept on running and running and running, and she thought to herself, I've been running slightly longer than I usually run. She had entered the half marathon race and just kept on running anyhow and finished the 13.1 miles of the race rather than the 5 kilometres. Now, I'm not here this evening to tell you how to run a marathon well. That would be crazy. Look at me up here. I couldn't give you any advice at all other than go and talk to Andy Gibson, who can give you some really good training tips for that. The reality is I'm not a great runner at all. I once entered the 800 metres as a 17-year-old at Regent House, and I set off and I thought, I'm going to do really well here. So around the first corner, I was flying. Well, I thought I was flying. I was out at the front, running as hard as I could. And then the second corner, I was still doing okay, still up with the rest of the runners. And then the third corner, I was getting a wee bit tired. I can't really run for very long, very fast. And then gradually, everyone just kept on running faster than I was running. And I got slower and slower, ended up walking, and then just dropped out. I'm not much of a runner at all. This evening we're going to be looking at Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, and we're going to be seeing what God's Word has to say in relation to the Christian race. And the Christian life at various times throughout God's Word is referred to as a race. So we're going to look at what it says to this race of life, or this Christian race. And we're going to look at it, and the challenge is to run the race. Some of you have already entered this race. Some of you have been running this race for quite a while, for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years even. Some of you are running really well and really enjoying it. Some of you are finding this race pretty difficult currently, actually. And you're getting tired. And the challenges. You're tempted to slow down. You're tempted maybe to walk. You're possibly tempted to take a wee shortcut. Like that famous girl who isn't really that famous. Some of you have maybe actually sitting on the side of the road and you're just tired. You no longer have the energy or the desire to run. Well, this evening, hopefully we've got something for everybody, wherever you are in this race. We want to encourage you to keep running, to run hard, to keep going, to keep on keeping on. And in this verse we've been looking at, and the Caleb read, it kicks off with these words, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So what is the author here saying? He's saying, look at chapter 11. Look at all these heroes of the faith who have ran their race so well. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Jacob. Look at Joseph. Look at Rahab, and look at all these others who have ran a really difficult race so well, and they have finished their race. They were able to do it, and the author is saying, so can you. They prove that you can run this race of faith. They have proven that you can get to the end. You can cross the finish line. And from chapter 11 to chapter 12, they're handing on the baton to you and I as we read it. And they're saying, you run. Abraham's ran. Moses has ran. Jacob has ran. Rahab has ran. Hosts have ran throughout the generations. And they're saying, now you, the youth of Hamelin Road 2016, you go, you run. You run this Christian race and run it so well. So let's have a closer look at some of this running advice that we are being given here. Firstly, the first tip is to run lightly. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You see it there on the screen. There's one common trend in marathon runners, and that is they don't look like I look. They are half the size I am. And as you watch them running, they seem to effortlessly glide along the road. They carry little or no excess weight at all. And you don't see any really heavy marathon runners crossing the line first, second, third. You don't see any of them running, wearing a hoodie, wearing jeans, wearing normal shoes, carrying excess weight. No, they run as lightly as they can, and the clothes that they wear allow them to run freely and allow them to run as fast as they can. And to run this Christian race that we're looking at this evening, we are encouraged to run lightly. What does that look like? To throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, as it says in the verses. To run without excess fat as a Christian. Things that will slow us down or cause us to stumble. We are told to run without these things. So what are these things? Well, this verse shows us two of them. Firstly, they can be good things that hinder us. You don't have to be running the Christian race too long to be aware that there are things that can hinder how well we run. Things which aren't necessarily wrong or aren't necessarily sinful, yet they can weigh us down. They can divert our attention. They can sap our energy. They can dampen our enthusiasm. For runners run with their hoodie on, and that's not going to help. But what are some of the things as Christians, as we think about running this Christian race, what are some of these good things that just maybe aren't quite so helpful? Possibly it's a real focus on academic success. Maybe it's a focus on sporting success. Maybe it's a focus on popularity. Maybe it's a focus on fashion. Maybe it's a focus on our computers or our phones, or it's a focus on this social world that we live. Maybe it's a focus on a relationship that we are in or that we want to enter in. It's an inordinate care for the things of this present life. These things are dead weights, which can sometimes slow us down in our Christian life. And while they can be good and they can be used for good, we're constantly tempted to prioritize them over the Christian race that we are entering. And these things can sometimes slow us down. I wonder, in your life, what are some of the things, as you consider quietly, that slow you down in your race? Secondly, they can be things which are sinful that entangle us. I wonder, can you remember to primary school sports day whenever you ran the three-legged race? This was a race that I had a chance of winning. And the only reason I had a chance is because everybody else was likely to fall over. So you tie your ankle to another friend's ankle and you try to run in unison along this track. And you try to go one, two, one, two, one, and you finally topple over again and again and again. I think it was actually the only race I ever won on sports day. Oh, no. And the Bible here is saying that there are sin issues that we can have in our lives, which are like this three-legged race, which can cause us to trip up, which can cause us to hit the floor head on, which can come up and smack us in the face. They can entangle us. They can be things, simple things in our lives that we tolerate just because the culture around says, well, they're not too bad. It's not really that bad. So, you know, don't get too serious about sin and, you know, all these wrong things. But the Bible is quite clear about what is right and what is wrong. And there are going to be sin issues in our lives. One writer says that we need to be killing sin, or sin's going to be killing us. Don't let pride, envy, gossip cause you to get entangled. Don't let the desire for money, for wealth, for sex, for popularity, for power, for fame, to cause you to stumble in this Christian race. It's not worth it. Sin is not worth it. Don't tolerate just one more website, just one more look, just one more bit of money, just one more bit of success, just one more follower, and then I'll be happy, then I'll be satisfied. Sin doesn't satisfy in the long term. It can cause you serious problems in the long term, but it won't satisfy. So to run well in this Christian race that we are looking at, it's to get rid of the things that so easily entangle and the sin which causes us to stumble. So run lightly. Secondly, it also says to run hard. Let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us. I love watching sport. I love playing sport as well. As you see the determination in the athletes' faces, they aim to go faster, stronger, or higher. Foot determination in runners to cross that finish line just ahead of others. The determination of rugby players or football players just to get on the end of the ball. I love seeing the determination of athletes. And in the Christian life as well here, the author is saying, run hard, run with perseverance, a race marked out for us. And this word, perseverance, in the original Greek is the word hupomai. And that says, and that is translated really, keep going, even when everything in you wants to slow down and give up. Keep going, even when everything within you wants to slow down or give up. I wonder tonight, do you feel like slowing down? Do you feel like giving up? Maybe you're tempted to ease off in this Christian race rather than to press on. Maybe you're tempted and you see other races and you see your friends running after other things and you think, well, that looks more enjoyable. That looks an easier course. And you're tempted to run over there. Listen to these words, to persevere, to keep going even when everything within you wants to slow down and just take a seat on the side of the road. Maybe your service in God, you just need to persevere. Maybe in your fears and your doubts you come with this evening, to persevere in those and to seek answers and to seek God on that. Maybe you're in a really difficult part of the course that you're currently running in your life as you have exams coming up, as you don't know what the future holds, as you've lost a job, as you have a family, as there's pressure in life. And it's just really tough. And you're sore. It hurts. God's word is saying, persevere tonight. Sometimes whenever you don't want to pray, you don't want to read, you don't want to go to church, God's word is saying, persevere. Keep going, even when everything within you wants to stop and slow down. So to run lightly, to run hard, and then finally to run fixed on Jesus. All of us have our own sporting heroes who we watch so closely. And we want to try to emulate as we then go and play our sports as well. I love watching rugby players. And then whenever I go onto a football field, I try to emulate the rugby ones in the football field. And I just get caught up in all sorts of late challenges and everything. I'm just clumsy, really, on the football field. We try to copy those athletes who we watch so closely. Some of us even copy the way that they have their hair, Johnny. So, in this race of Christian life, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 saying, fix our eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the ultimate example. He's the one that we should be trying to emulate in this race. He is the one that has run his race perfectly. He is the one that has run this race without hindrance or without sin. He is the one that was tempted to run every other race around him. And he said, no, I'm running this race. He is the one that knew what was ahead of him in his course. He knew that the cross was coming. He knew that the wrath of God was coming on him as he was there in Gethsemane. On the eve of the cross, as he looked into the cup, which was the wrath of God, he could see what was coming on the cross. And he said, Father, if there's another way, he said, is there another route that this can happen? And God the Father was silent. And Jesus kept running. He kept going all the way to the cross. And on that cross, and there's 3 hours of darkness, he hung there. As God's wrath was poured out on him. Not for anything that he'd done. Because he'd run the perfect race up until this point in his life. And even there he hung in perfection. As the punishment for the things that we have done wrong. The things that I have done wrong was poured out on him. So that I could go free. So that you could go free if you choose to trust in him. He is the one that endured and embrace the race. And do you know what the amazing thing is? Jesus ran his race for you and for me. We've seen celebrities and those who run races often run for charities and for other organizations to raise awareness and to raise finances for them. Jesus ran this race on earth for you and for me. And he ran it for the Father's glory. He endured the really difficult times here on earth for us. He hung there for us. He pressed on even whenever everything within him possibly wanted to see another way that it could happen. Jesus kept going for us. So how was Jesus able to do all this? How was Jesus the God-man able to do all this? Well, as we read on, we see what his motivation is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Jesus ran this race because of the joy that was set before him. But what was this joy? It was a joy of obeying his Father. It was a joy of bringing glory to the Father. It was a joy of reconciling sinners to God. It was a joy of crushing Satan and sin and all the powers of evil on that cross. It was a joy of becoming the mediator between man and God. That was a joy that was set before him. So for us, as we consider running our race, what's our motivation? What's a joy that will keep us running our race? Well, it's a joy as we look at the cross and we look to see what Christ has done for us. It's a joy of knowing our sins are forgiven. It's a joy of having a purpose and a hope in this life. It's a joy of being a child of God, of having this love lavished upon us. And it's a joy of looking forward to one day being with God in heaven in perfect friendship, in perfect unity, in perfect surroundings. As we receive our crown of righteousness is what the Bible talks of. And an inheritance there that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The joy of a new body and a new mind where we'll be able to comprehend God in all his fullness. This is the joy that we look at the cross and the joy that we look at towards heaven. Are you joyful in this race of life? Yes, it's going to be difficult. As I talk to those that have run marathons, there's a real joy even in the pain, even in the difficult times. There's a deep down joy that they can experience. But not only is Jesus our example, he's the one that enables us to run too. We can't run this race on our own strength, no matter how strong or how good we think we are. We run this race through faith in Jesus. We enter this race by having a personal relationship with Jesus, by coming to the cross. That's how we enter, and then we go on by having faith in Jesus. The way into this race is the way on in this race. And God encourages, God gives us his Holy Spirit as well to lead us and to guide us in this race. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's run fixed on him. So how do we do that? Look at this life. Read about his life. Read what God's word says about Jesus. Look about what God's word says about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Get into God's word. This will fuel. This is our food to help us to run. Drink from it too. Don't give up. Running any sort of a race is difficult. Running a marathon is really hard. Being a Christian, being a teenager that's a Christian, it's really difficult. It's really hard. There's pressures, there's temptation all around. As an older person, to keep running hard is difficult because we'll be tempted to ease off. Young adults will be tempted just to get comfortable in our jobs, in our homes, and whatever we have. We'll be tempted to ease off and to slow down. Running is difficult. But can we encourage you this evening to run lightly? Can I encourage you to run hard and to run fixed on Jesus? Sadly, there are many who've entered this Christian race and who have given up, who have fallen, who have allowed sin to entangle them and to disqualify them from this race. I've seen other races to the left or to the right, and I've said, I'm going to go after popularity rather than go after Jesus. I'm going to go after what this world offers in terms of money, sex, and power rather than going after Jesus. Young people, older people, keep running this race. Keep focused. Maybe you're here this evening and you're on the sidelines. You're just watching Christians as they run this race. Maybe this evening I encourage you to begin running. Maybe you're jogging. Maybe you're walking. Maybe you're sitting by the side of the road. Encourage you to re-enter and to keep going. These three running tips given to us in Hebrews begin with the two words, let us, let us, let us. Lone running is a lot harder than running in a group or with friends. And the Christian life is meant to be run with others. Get connected to other Christians who are running this race. Stay connected to your youth group, to your church. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Support one another. We aren't running this race, and we aren't racing against others. We are racing to encourage and to help others cross the line as well. Just as we close, D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist across the world who's seen revivals in his day, he said this, and it's resonated with me for a while. It says, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Young people here, what are you living for? Who are you living for? Let God have your life. The race isn't going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Run lightly, run hard, and run fixed on Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement of your word to keep running. Father, we all feel a tendency to give up, to slow down, to sit at the side of the road. So, Father, thank you for the encouragement to keep going. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that will help us to run this race. God, I pray for our youth, for our teenagers, for our young adults as they seek to run this race. Father, would you help them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, not to be drawn with the temptation to the left or to the right, but to keep running. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.